Marilyn Moore wrote that each year our knowledge progresses, each year we push back the curtain of ignorance, but there remains so much to learn. Our theories are only dancing shadows against the hard wall of reality. Archaeology has become more theoretical. Its practitioners have developed predictive models, theories actually, of where and how our forebears lived. Unless the bulldozer, the hard wall of reality, can be spilled temporarily, archaeological theories regarding our ancestors will remain untested dancing shadows. As Thoreau said, it is high time to look for arrowheads. Thank you.
That's a very speaker, isn't it?
Yes.
There's an automobile, Michigan license plate number 282-CEK, that has some vehicles blocked, and they need you to move that vehicle. Michigan license plate 282-CEK.
I was running around with Oliver trying to find a place for him to park the helicopter yesterday that wouldn't, you know, blow dust and dirt all over him.
He's the one that fought state recognition.
I hate to begin speaking about the next man, because once you start, there's no end as to what you can say. And if you make it brief, you haven't said it enough. So I'm going to make it brief. The next speaker will be, I'll speak about him first, I guess. He is the most ardent supporter, I think, of the Virginia Indians. He champions all of their causes, and he spearheaded the legislative drive in order for the tribes in Virginia to get recognition.
That's enough, Oliver.
he embarrasses very easily, but I only have one more sentence to say, so he'll have to stand here and support me. And he was instrumental in having the last full week in September established as Native American Indian Week.
Let's see, about 380 years ago, a fellow by the name of Martin came here and committed indecencies on the Nansemond Indians. We have been a long time trying to correct that situation. And I can see right now that Oliver, along with the city of Suffolk, the Indians, the first families of Virginia, are trying to right that wrong. It is about time. There would have been no white settlement that would have lasted as much of a year if it hadn't been for our Native Americans who got them through the first year, who fed them, taught them how to live, and survive. We have here today some of the descendants of those great people. Early historians would like to call them savages. They did not call themselves barbarians, which they should have done. I'm not here today to digress on any wrong or any right, but I have the privilege at this time to introduce the Secretary of Health and Human Resources for this great Commonwealth of ours. There is no one more dedicated are more qualified and does a better job than Eva Tigg, and I'd like to present her at this time for your kind attention. Eva?
Down.
Thank you, Delegate Marks. Honorable Chiefs, Chief Perry, members of the tribes, representing all the tribes of Virginia who are here today, honorable guests. I'm very, very privileged to be able to share this very symbolic and special afternoon with you. This weekend, not only do we remember an event that occurred over 300 years ago, but we celebrate respect and reconciliation. We're celebrating the return of the Nansemond Indians to their ancestral homeland and the symbolic return of corn once taken by force. Today, respect and reconciliation have won the battle over force and fear of the unknown and fear of a different culture or heritage. But in remembering and honoring the past, it is important that we look forward, that we apply those lessons even 300 years later to the future. Because we live in a society where people are different, where they have come from different paths and different heritages, without the respect of one individual for another, there will never truly be reconciliation. For our Native Americans, the past 300 years have been troublesome ones in many respects because we must first put history in order. And today, the pages of history have been put in their proper order and proper perspective. But in spite of what may have occurred here so many years ago, Virginia Indians have gone forward, and the past years have been notable and successful for them. This year, participating in an international dance competition in France, Virginia Indians placed first in this international competition. They brought home the first place trophy, and they distinguished themselves by this success internationally. The event, sponsored by many corporations within the Commonwealth, demonstrated all Virginia's pride in our Native Americans. In May, the Upper Mattaponi tribe celebrated its return of the deed to the Sharon Indian School by the King William County Board of Supervisors. And last year, thanks to the efforts of Delegate Hardaway Marks, the first Native American Day in Virginia was celebrated. And this year, that celebration will be for a full week and will be always the last week in September. As this very significant legislation stated, this special time is being set aside to honor the culture and heritage of the American Indian, to recognize the historic and continuing contribution of that heritage in American society, and in particular, to commemorate the very special place of the tribes native to Virginia and their contribution to the life and history of this Commonwealth. This year, too, some 10,000 Virginia students and hundreds of thousands of visitors to this year's Virginia State Fair will have the opportunity to view a living history exhibit. This new exhibit, which is part of the American Heritage Showcase, will demonstrate the skill and efficiency which Virginia Indians used to farm and hunt in the early 17th century. Also, for the first time, Native American dancers will be performing at the Natural History Museum in Martinsville and at Fort Lee. And next year, thanks to the Jamestown-Yorktown Foundation, we will look forward to opening the new gallery, which will commemorate the largest exhibit of Indian artifacts on the eastern seaboard. This week, we honor the Nansemond Indian Tribe, which was officially recognized by the Commonwealth in the early 1980s. And to all the more than 300 members of the tribe, we thank you for the opportunity to remember the past and to come forward together with your heritage intact and your place in history made accurate. So we come together in peace to remember the events of the past while preparing and building strong, positive relationships for the 21st century. If there is a thought that I would really like to leave you with today, it is this. Teach your children the important lessons of history. And make sure that history takes into account some of the very events that we're talking about here today. Because sometimes, because we live close to historical places, or we live in a community where there is a lot of history, we take it for granted. We forget about it. We assume our children are going to learn it somewhere else. But we can teach respect and reconciliation. We can teach the past. We can teach about different cultures and a different heritage that was so important. Because the Virginia Indians were our first teachers, our first farmers, our first parents, our first leaders. And we must teach future generations the importance of the past. Chief Joseph, though not a Virginia Indian, once offered some words of wisdom for all of us. He said, and I'm going to add a little of my own here, treat all men, and I'm adding and women, alike, give them all the same laws, give them all an even chance to live and grow. We must give all our children an even chance to live and grow. We must prepare them to take our places for the future, because they are the workers, the parents, the taxpayers, the leaders of the 21st century. And if they do not know all the history that is around them and within them, then they will not be as effective as leaders of the 21st century. We must show them the great ethnic richness and the cultural diversity that Native Americans have given Virginia, which is so evident today. Our vision of the future must preserve this, and we must make sure that the lessons of the past are not forgotten and that they are transmitted as accurately as we know how. Respect and reconciliation have opened the doors for a very strong and rich tomorrow. I thank you again for inviting me to be here today. I think that all of us will leave here with a memory that will never disappear of this very special event, because returning home really has nothing that can compare to it. Home, to use a trite expression but an accurate one, is where the heart is. Thank you so much.
We're going to deviate again just a little bit from the program as you see it in your pamphlet. I'll explain the reason why. Former Governor Chuck Robb is coming in by helicopter. He will be landing directly behind us between the fire equipment and the metal structure. He's supposed to leave Richmond at 1:30. He should be landing in here approximately 2:10. Going to try to make it a little earlier. So when we hear the helicopter coming in, I'd appreciate it if all the people that can hear me would gather back around here in their chairs so that you can hear his message. In the meantime, in order to fill in the space a little bit, I'm going to have these chairs move back, the podium and the speaker, and we have some of the Indian dancers come up here on the concrete and do a couple of short dances. So you can stand up where you are, gather around, but when it's all over and the governor arrives, please return to your seat.
Ha ha ha. if they're still raised.
I like it.
Sent that dance.
You gonna do an order?
Can you hear me? Yes, I can hear myself. My name's John Ogden. I'm with the Native American Cultural Exchange Program. And you folks are very honored here today. A number of the dancers that are here are an award-winning group that went to France and represented the United States in February of this year. The dancers came from three states, Virginia, North Carolina, and Maryland. They represented a number of different tribes in Virginia, the Chickahominy, the Rappahannock, the Upper Mattapani, the Piscataway from Maryland, the Tuscarora, the Lumbee, and the Kohari from North Carolina. This was quite an experience. It was the first time that Americans have brought the trophy home, and it was something to be very proud of because these young people represented not only the United States, but also all Native American people. And we want all of you to be aware and recognize that these dancers are here today. And Lenora Adkins from the Chickahominy tribe, who was also one of the participants in this, we'll give you a little bit of the details of what happened while we were in France.
Thank you, John. While we were in Nice, France, back in February, we participated in many, many parades. Most of the time, we were in our native regalia. On the last night that we were in France, we were allowed basically to go in street clothes at some points in time. We found out that the French were amazed by all the feathers and the leather that they saw. And they had this compound in a can called silly string. And they would spray us totally with all of this silly string. And it looked like we had spaghetti all over us. And we found out that it's very difficult to get that silly string out of our feathers. So on the last night that we were there, we were allowed to go in street clothes. Also, while we were in Nice, we had the opportunity to participate in a TV show, and it was broadcast back in America through satellite TV. We are going to hopefully get a copy of the TV show next year, and maybe when some of you are at some of our functions, you will be allowed the opportunity to see the TV show. It was an experience for all of us. It was one of the events where we were on stage maybe 10 minutes, but we had to wait 15 hours just to be on TV for 10 minutes. And during those 15 hours, we entertained ourselves in numerous ways. We formed lots of friendships with people from other countries. We found out that people from other countries love Indians too. They particularly like the Indian beat, the songs and the dances. We were able to teach people from other countries some of our dances, and they in turn taught us some of their dances as well. I would like for all the participants who went on the trip to France to come forward. I'm very proud of these people. I'm even prouder to be part of the group. I think Indian people have such a unique bond. We have our Indianness that brings us together, which a lot of you don't have the opportunity to experience. So I ask all of my Indian brothers and sisters to come forward, and please, I ask that you would give them all a hand. I greatly respect the knowledge that these people have. This is a world-class bunch of people you see in front of you. Tony is saying you don't have to give him money. But Preston needs it. Preston's going to get married on October the 8th, so he could probably use everything he could get. While we were in Nice, with all of the professional dance groups that were there, there were dance groups from Africa, from Tenerife, from Cuba, and these dance groups were phenomenal. They were all professionals. They do this as part of their living. What you see that we did today is just part of our heritage. We don't do it day in and day out. We do it on special occasions like this and when we want to be with our Indian brothers and sisters. But in Nice, the people in France saw that we were a special group. And in order to point out how special we were, they presented us with the first place trophy for being the best dance group in France as part of the carnival. Needless to say, we were very overwhelmed because this is something that's part of our culture and we just do naturally. We don't necessarily have to practice it as professional dance groups do. It just comes from our heart. And it was so overwhelming to see that someone else could see the love and the culture and the pride that we have in our heart. And they recognized this and presented us with this wonderful honor. At this time, I will embarrass John and ask that all of you give John Ogden, Thomasina Jordan, and Mary Lou Wenzel, who are over at the cultural exchange booth behind you, give them a big hand, because let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, without those three people, the trip would not have happened. These are three of the most phenomenal people I've ever met in my life. They sacrifice lots, not only those three people, but they have spouses who sacrificed a lot as well. We were able to take them away for about 3 months, because if you add up all the time that they spent with us, it was about 3 months. So with great appreciation, I ask that you give them a round of applause, and I in turn will do the same, because I greatly respect these people. At this time, we will do a blanket dance as part of our cultural exchange. As I said, the cultural exchange booth is behind you. Any purchases that are made at that booth go toward the next trip that this group may take. At this point, we have invitations to Hong Kong, Switzerland, and to Germany. And as I said, it's very overwhelming to thank people in other countries, in other worlds, if you stop to think about it, want to know something about us. And far too often here in the United States, on this very soil, we find that people want to forget us or pretend we don't exist. So we are very proud to have these unique opportunities to represent not only the United States of America, but the American Indian of the United States of America. Thank you.
As an automobile directly behind where we're all seated, it could present a problem for a helicopter when it comes in. It's a Honda Virginia license tag SVS971. Would the owner please move that further down this way to clear the landing area, please?
Blanket dance that's going to be done now, for the ones of you who don't know, is something that's done to raise money by the Indian people. So we have great expectations that you're going to fill our blanket so full of money that I'm not going to have to spend months and months fundraising for the next trip for these people to so ably represent the United States. Thank you.
think it was.
I'm Paige and John Ogden. Would you people like to see a little more Indian dancing while we are still waiting for this egg beater to come in? Now I'll ask the natives if they would like to dance a little bit more.
Soon he will be in the hallowed halls of Congress as your friend and representative. I hope in a very short time we will have him in the White House of this great nation. Without further ado, and let me remind you, he was right on time. I present the former governor of Virginia, our next United States Senator, the Honorable Charles Robb. Chuck.
Thank you, my friend Hardaway Marks, who has always continued to urge me to be at the right place. Now, I will tell you, this is not the only celebration taking place in the Commonwealth of Virginia today. As a matter of fact, after I bring greetings to Chief Running Deer and all of those who are gathered at the ancestral homeland today and yesterday for the festivities, I will tell you that there is an event in Richmond that I just left that has more people at a single location than we have ever had at a single event, I believe, in our history, at least for a sporting event of any kind. They've got 55 to 60,000 people at a NASCAR race at the Richmond International Speedway. Some people have spent 4 and 5 hours just trying to get there. And you would think that any politician worth his or her salt with that many folks would stay there. But I just bade a very grief greeting to that particular group, and Hardaway said his friends were coming to visit the Nansman's ancestral homeland, and a number of my friends and a number of the chiefs and others here I consider friends would be here. So I left that little gathering to come over here and share with you and others this very festive weekend that we all join in celebration. I was not here to make a speech. I don't know whether the Secretary of Human Resources, Eva Teague, has made hers yet. I know that one of my very distinguished predecessors, Mills Godwin, was on your program for yesterday, and I know that you enjoyed his remarks and many others that were here. But I appreciate the fact that so many of you have come out to join in this very special celebration today, and to all of you who have any relation to the chief or to any of the other tribes that are gathered here on this particular occasion, or to those who have made such an important contribution to our Commonwealth and its very rich history and heritage through this celebration, my appreciation for being here and my appreciation for understanding the importance of coming back and renewing our connections with those who preceded us and made it possible for us to enjoy some of the things that we enjoy today. So without further interruption to your ceremony, and I apologize for being a little noisy coming in, I appreciate the opportunity to be with you today, and I thank you for coming to help all of us celebrate this return to the ancestral homeland, and I thank you.
I've never been on a program with, before, after, or doing with the governor, so let's see what happens from this point on. I only have one brief comment to make concerning Governor Robb. In the Commonwealth of Virginia, once you're a governor, you're always a governor. You're never former. So I'll refer to him as Governor Robb. But the one comment that I would like to make about him is this, that it was during his administration that the seven tribes in Virginia were officially and formally recognized by the General Assembly, signed by the governor, and the Nansman tribes also received a resolution or proclamation when we had a short ceremony on our homeland over in Chesapeake, honoring our ancestors and also dedicating the site where we had our little Indian school. So, Governor Robb, I appreciate you coming here. It's our pleasure and our delight to welcome you. Now he has to listen to me. What I have to say is really a Nansman response. It's a message that I would like for the governor here, and if he gets to the White House, I would like for him to remember it, which I'm sure he will. And for all the people here today, when you leave here, I hope you remember it. Today, we have turned back the calendar 380 years and shared a glimpse of Nansman history at the time of the first contact with the, I'll refer to them as the European boat people, came over to Jamestown in 1607. So we also refer to this as a Nansman homecoming to our ancestral homeland. And it's also, we think, a little bit of the reversal of the Trail of Tears. Whereas everyone knows the Cherokees, they had a Trail of Tears. That's where they were driven from the homeland. In our case, it's different. We are coming back home. And as you all heard, the mayor of Suffolk said he hoped it would continue next year. We graciously accepted the invitation on the spot. The Virginia Indian tribes are working in harmony and in unity with the Department of Education, with the Virginia Council on Indians, with the scholars, and with the tribal leaders to rewrite, revise the history books currently being used in the schools in Virginia. You read history, it's very limited. Normally, history presents the view of the person who writes it. Of course, the Indians won't be slanted, they won't be prejudiced, they won't be biased, but we will give you the Virginia Indian history from the Indian perspective as we see it. I think you'll enjoy that one. We would also like to destroy the stereotype image that people have of what a Indian looks like. Many people still think in terms of almost of a nude brave on horseback with a spear chasing a bison, buffalo, what have you. We would like to let you know that the 20th century descendants of the Native American Indians, the Powhatan Confederacy in particular, we're fully assimilated into the 20th century society. We have people who are doctors, ministers, lawyers, blue-collar, white-collar workers. Whatever type of work you do, we have people who are members of the Virginia tribes who do the same thing. It's important to know your history. It's equally important, if perhaps more so, to plan for the future. While we are in the process of trying to increase the public awareness of what the Virginia Indians are like and also all Native American Indians, we're also in the process of relearning, developing our skills, our crafts, our customs, our dancing, our folklore, and we want to share them with you. At any time that you hear about a Native American fall festival that any of the tribes in this area are going to put on, make an extra effort to go and attend. You will see things, you will hear things that you didn't know existed. I venture to say today is the first time most of you have ever seen any of the Native Americans in their tribal regalia do dances, give you some of their history. There's a lot more to be learned. I would like to now very briefly give you my outlook on life, and I think it's basically that of all Native Americans. Native American Indians are closely akin to nature, and they are greatly concerned about the continued extreme pollution of all natural resources, land, sea, and air. And from our perspective, it's essential that all people learn to live in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky, because if you don't and you can continue the pollution, we will all die. The food chain will be destroyed. We along with it. Now, my final comment is to speak about how we think in terms of the family. We think in terms of family unity in this manner. You should honor your ancestors, you should respect your elders, and by all means protect, lead, guide, and educate your children, because all of our futures is in the hands of our children. As they go, we go. As they go, our history goes. And that's the sum total of my message to all of you. We will now move right ahead with the balance of our program. And as I announced yesterday, it will deviate from the way it's listed in your program because we need to get certain things done before you get up and begin moving around. The next item that we will have will be the honoring of our ancestors. It'll be by reading a poem by Francis Woodard, member of the Nansemond tribe.
In loving memory of our tribal members that have died in the last 5 years, Robert J. Bond, Catherine Perry Bushke, Edna Roland Phelps Lockamy, Luther T. Bond, Eleanor Bond Van, Linwood Lee Bass, the Honorary Chief Albert Richard Bass, Marion Bass Weatherly, Ray O'Neill Woodard Jr., Reverend C. Caton Gray, Claude Ashley Bass. And we have one honorary member that passed away in 1987, James R. Coates. And in their memory, I would like to read the Nansemond Creed, which was written by a Nansemond, my sister, Talitha Darling. We are the descendants of the Nansemond. We have gathered our people into our family home to pay honor to all who came before us and to all who shall come later. Lest we forget the proud blood that flows like calm fire within our veins. We are a family tied together by blood and years of pain. We are here to be counted among all Native Americans of this great land. We are the culmination of our forefathers and mothers. We are here to bear witness to the role of our people in the history of this great country, to continue our culture so that all who follow will know that we cared enough to leave them all that we are. We are the descendants of the Nansemond. We are here to bear witness to the great spirit, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are here to give thanks and praise to Him who has brought us together as a family. Our children will sustain our belief in Him who is Most High and will cultivate our heritage so that it will never be lost or set aside. We are gathered to proclaim that in the hearts of our people, the souls of our ancestry lives on in us. We proclaim also that still strong within us is the love of the beauty of nature and all living creatures. We proclaim our love of freedom and the strength of free will, and we will cherish both forever. We are the descendants of the Nansemen. We are here still. We are here always. We are.
We'll now have the Lord's Prayer as sung by Kenneth Paul Bass, a member of the Nansemen tribe.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You have a special treat to witness now. The people who are going to conduct this were unable to be with us yesterday, but we're fortunate that they were able to get here today. We're now going to have a peace pipe ceremony conducted by Chief Curtis Custolo, accompanied by the drummer's his wife, Minnehaha Custolo. They're from the Mattapani Reservation. Just for your information, east is a very important direction to all Native American Indians. He will refer to that when he begins to conduct the peace pipe ceremony. And speaking for him, I believe accurately that he will be the chief president of the tribes, as well as Governor Robb and the Honorable Hardaway Marks are invited to join in the ceremony if they wish.
Thank you. I would like if those that has been named would step forward, possible, and make something of a semicircle, and we will perform the ceremony here. This is something that is very religious. We would appreciate, after the ceremony has been complete and the pipe has been put away, that you would hold your applause, because it is very sacred. It's more than just for signing treaties, but is, in a sense, to worship the Great Spirit and His handiwork, the Creator of all of the universe, the sun, the moon, the stars, Mother Earth, the seas, and even to you and I, created by the mighty hand of God. And we would like to be reverent and smoke the peace pipe to the sun and the moon and the stars. One thing before we conclude this, that it is an honor once again to really, truly smoke the peace pipe with Governor Robb. The last time we smoked the peace pipe together, I would like to remind him, I'm sure that he remembers it, it was at his dedication of a school, the John Robb School in Henrico County, and it was really something we did not light the peace pipe because of the ordinance. But I'm so pleased that he had the privilege